Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
First Peter had this to say, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have hope in Christ.
Yes.
And it's not a dead hope, it's a living hope. It's not a, you know, a wished for hope, but something that we can experience right now. We have an anchor for our souls, as the writer of Hebrews describes it. But all that comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And along with that hope, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's been kept for us. It's being kept for us in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Boy, that's good news.
Yeah, sure
that is the gospel message. We have hope in this present world. Mm-hmm. That is just amazing. Now, oftentimes we have days like today when the Dow Jones drops 1,000 points, you know, right at the bell. It rebounds a little bit, and as of right now, it's down 461 points at the close of the market.
No.
Friday, it dropped 500 points. So we see this, and we see, you know, this is happening all over the world, and we start to panic, and we get fearful. And these little passages come back and say, do you really believe that you have a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Do you really believe that you have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that is being kept for you in heaven? These trials that we experience in life can show if our hearts have truly believed. So many folks out there are simply giving lip service to the good news. Mm-hmm. They've gone to church, they've said a prayer, they've done this. But when push comes to shove, when life starts pressing in, they wonder if I've even ever believed to begin with.
Yes.
That's what the trials of life are supposed to show us. If you're in one of those folks who are panicking and fearful and wondering if you believe, maybe God's telling you it's time to have genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you are worrying a little bit as you see this stock market fall, as you start to wonder about finances. Will I be able to retire? Will I have enough to live on once I'm retired? Maybe you have a lot of those particular thoughts, but as you think through it, you start to realize that, wait a minute, your security isn't in the stock market. Your security is in Christ. Your hope is anchored right in Him. Well, now you're seeing that your faith is genuine. And so you can step back in situations like this and thank the Lord. That's the good news of the gospel, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I hope and pray that, as you see these things that are happening in the world, and it's not just financial collapse. It's not just economic problems. I mean, the world is filled with all kinds of problems. And boy, they're coming at us like waves right now, and not just calm, simple, easy waves. I mean, these are powerful things that are pounding on us day in and day out. And it's easy to panic in the midst of that. But allow this hope that you have in Christ to anchor your souls and rest confidently that He's going to take care of you and that you have an inheritance that will never fade or spoil. So keep your mind right there in the midst of anything and everything that's going on out there in the world. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper. We welcome you to the program as well. We would love to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. 322-2742 is the number to call. It's toll-free here in the United States and Canada. Take advantage of it. We would love to hear from you. How are you responding to the world situation right now? All the things that we see coming at us, whether it's financial, whether it's the Planned Parenthood thing, whether it's the racial tensions that you see. Maybe it's, you know, your own marriage is falling apart or your family is in trouble. How are you responding to that? Is this gospel message anchoring your heart and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's talk about it. 844-322-2742. We're going to start in New Jersey with Wayne listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Wayne.
Good, good. Praise the Lord. I love what y'all are doing.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
My question is, in Romans chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says there, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness and apart from works. Then explain that with where grace and works come into play for all, because in James chapter 4, it says, show me faith, I'll show you works. Can you explain that to me?
Okay, Wayne, excellent question. And yes, I think it's an age-old question as far as Christianity is concerned. How do we balance faith and works? And I think we have to realize that works is not something that is separate from faith. It is a byproduct of faith. Faith spells itself out in good works. If you don't have works, maybe you need to question the genuineness of your faith. But works don't save us. Works apart from faith will not save us. No one will be declared righteous in the sight of God through obedience to the law. Paul and all of the writers of the New Testament repeat that time and time again. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus. There's no other plan. And the way that we live our lives is exactly the same way. By grace through faith in Jesus. And as we live by grace through faith in Jesus, we're going to start seeing Jesus produce his works in and through us. So it's his works that we walk in, not ours. That's what this gospel message is all about. Let me point you to a couple of passages. Philippians chapter 2, Wayne. This is a wonderful, wonderful passage. It's one of those verses that many people take out of context and use it to teach that you can lose salvation, but that's not what it's saying at all. It's verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So here's the Christian life in one of the most concise statements in the Word of God. We're to work out, Wayne, what God is working in us. Does that make sense? So how do we work that out? By faith.
Okay.
So, Wayne, for example, I don't know if you're married, but if you are,
separated.
Okay. Well, there's some pain and there's some hurt there, isn't there? In that situation. And so in that type of pain and hurt, if you're saved, if you're in Christ, if Christ is in you, he's going to start working in your heart an attitude of forgiveness, an attitude of reconciliation. And so as God works that in, then you work that out in the relationship. Does that make sense? So if
Say that again one more time.
Okay, Wayne. So Jesus is going to work in your heart forgiveness, reconciliation. He's going to be at work to produce those attitudes inside of you. And then as a believer, you work that out by faith. So if God is moving you to forgive your wife, then you step out in faith and forgive. That's the work that God has called you to. So it's only going to happen as you trust Jesus. So you work out what God is working in you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Brother Bob.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Thank you so much for your help.
You are so welcome, Wayne. Thanks for your call.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye. Boy, that's one of those big questions, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
That so many people struggle with. You know, we talked about last week, Martin Luther, when he started really reading the Bible and seeing justification by faith and wanted to bring that back to the people, wanted to get the word of God into the common folks' hands and that sort of thing. As he started reading the book of James, he said, that's just a straw gospel. It shouldn't be in here.
Yeah.
Can't believe that they voted to put this in the Bible. It doesn't belong. And one of the reasons he said that is because of what James had to say about faith and works, that faith without works is dead. And one of my favorite stories in all the Bible is in Genesis 22. And God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Mm-hmm. And it's very surreal how that story kind of manifests itself. You know, God comes and says, this is what you need to do. And Abraham says, okay. You know, he takes Isaac and he travels for 3 days to Mount Moriah, and you know, he puts Isaac on an altar and he raises the knife and he's about to stab him, and the writers of the New Testament use that as the story to describe what faith really is.
Yes.
Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 4. James talks about it in James chapter 2. The writer of Hebrews talks about it in Hebrews 11. And all of them tie it to resurrection. Paul said this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Our faith is tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. Well, that story in Genesis 22, the writers of the New Testament are telling us that Abraham actually believed in his heart that God could give life back to Isaac.
Yes.
That's exactly what he believed. And because he believed that, he was willing to do as God commanded him to do. That's faith working itself out in a real life situation. Abraham just wasn't giving lip service to the reality of resurrection.
Yeah.
There was something about it that he genuinely believed. And that's why Paul says you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. This is a heart interaction, you to God. And when that faith is genuine in the heart, then the circumstances of life can be handled so much differently.
Yes.
Yes. Well, let's go to Livermore and talk to William, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. You were speaking earlier about all the things going on in the world today, just seem to be getting worse and worse. You ask, how do we cope with all of these things? And the way I cope is simply with the Word of God, my faith in Jesus. He told us so many things, but for instance, in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said that you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. So when I see these people doing the things they're doing, I just know that they're carrying out their father's desires. You know, he was a murderer from the beginning, a liar, a thief, and that's all they're doing.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, William, because it really, I think, gives us perspective on who the real enemy is. It's not flesh and blood. We kind of look at each other and that sort of thing, but we have to realize there is a spiritual world of darkness, and that spiritual world of darkness is influencing this world that we live in right here, right now. As a matter of fact, you know, Satan and his minions, so to speak, have shaped the world system. The world system is the way that it is because Satan has had his handiwork in being the architect of it, so to speak. So he is orchestrating how it's being carried out. But God is bigger than that world system. Jesus is bigger than that world system. The end of that world system is death, and through the resurrection we see that God has power over death. And that's the great news. That's our hope. And as you're saying, William, I think when we recognize that, I think we can stand firm in the hope that we have in Christ, knowing that he's bigger than anything, any problem that's going on in this world today.
Well said.
Well, thank you, my friend. As always, it's great to hear from you. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. The number to call, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. I know we have some email questions.
Yes, we do. And in light of today's rather depressing economic news, there's been a couple of questions. I've been searching through them here, and I'll bring a couple of them together. It has to do with end times. I mean, what are we talking about in judgments? Is there a particular chronology to judgments? And what about end times in general, especially when we look around the world today?
Well, there is going to be a judgment. And,
yes.
And we see that in some of the early passages of the Gospels, when John the Baptist was talking about his work to baptize people in water. He said, listen, I do this. I'm going to dunk you in water, and that's to prepare you for the coming Messiah. But this Messiah, you know, I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals, but he's going to come and baptize you with the Spirit and with fire.
Yes.
Now, the Spirit is a baptism of life. That's why Jesus came, so that we might have life. So when we're baptized by the Spirit, we're placed into Christ so that we could receive his life, so that we could be made alive together with him and enjoy resurrection life to the full. So that's baptism by the Spirit, in the Spirit type of thing. And then there's the baptism by fire. That's a baptism of judgment. So anyone who refuses life, they stand condemned. They're already condemned. And that final condemnation as to what that's going to look like is going to happen at the end times. They're going to experience what the Bible calls the second death. And that's a judgment against the lost. It's a judgment for those who have rejected Jesus Christ. So that's their judgment, and that's the white throne judgment, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, okay. It is. And that's the very last judgment.
Yes.
That's the end before the beginning. So when you see various judgments like the Bema Seat judgment, or Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats, or this great white throne, it's important to realize that the sheep and goats kind of judgment is the same thing as the great white throne judgment. Because that judgment involves anyone whose name has not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if your name is in the Book of Life, if you're one of his sheep, if you're a member of the Bride of Christ, the Body of Christ, the Church, then you don't face the White Throne judgment. Instead, you go to what it's called the Bema Seat judgment, where we get to just throw all of our good works done by faith through Jesus Christ right back at his feet and say, thank you, Lord. When you're thinking in terms of judgment, especially when things aren't going well in the world around you, it's best to pull away from the idea of judgment and look at what is this whole end time thing about? Well, really, it's not about judgment. It's about victory. It's about Jesus's victory. And it's the most wonderful thing and the easiest thing in the world to belong to Jesus and therefore be a partaker in his victory. And whether it ends up pre-trib or post-trib or whatever the names we put on it, if we belong to Christ, we are his, and we will never suffer God's wrath. Now, that doesn't mean we won't suffer the world system's wrath. We see that all around. And I think we in the United States have a lot to learn about selfishness, because when you look at your brothers and sisters suffering around the world, it should cause you to be incredibly thankful that these little light momentary troubles we have here in the U.S. are nothing by comparison. I mean, we're not dying for our faith.
That's
like
right.
So many
That's
other
right.
people. But, you know, get away from the fear of judgment and transfer all your end time thinking onto the shoulders of Jesus and let him carry you through.
Yeah. And I think that's such an important point, Richard, and one that we need to somehow restore in the thinking of the American church, the Western church. We've made the gospel about us. Mm-hmm. And whenever we make the gospel message about us or the church about us or the Bible about us, it's going to lead to fear and panic. If we're the main story, main character in the story, you know, how can we defeat what's going to come? But we're not the main story in the character. God is always the main story in the Bible. Mm-hmm. When you read, in the beginning, God.
Yes.
That sets the stage right there. This is God's story, and he allows us to be a part of it. And at the end, we see God reigning in victory. We see Jesus, occupying the throne at the right hand of God the Father. We see us as his children, as his people, living around him, he in the center.
Yes.
That's the way it has to be. And when we realize that God is the main character in the story and he's the main character in our story, then panic and fear can be diminished.
Yes.
I'm not going to worry about end times because I know God has it under control and I'm attached to him. That's the good news. And
Absolutely.
When we go and stand at the Bema seat, you know, it talks about in 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to give an account of those things that we've done in the body. Again, we don't have to fear that. Why? Because our story is hitched to his.
Yes.
And anything that was of value that happened through me, he was the source of it. If anything that wasn't of value happened through me, it's just going to be burned up.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone. And you want it to be gone. And I think that's going to be one of those great moments of clarity when we get to see things as they really are. And I think that's just going to put into our hearts even a deeper sense of gratitude mm-hmm. for who Jesus is and the fact that by grace, in mercy, in love, in forgiveness, he lifted us up out of where we are so that we could be a part of his good news story. Well, we thank you all for being a part of today's broadcast. We have a wonderful CD that we want to put in your hands. It's called Pierce the Darkness. Richard, Bob Davis, and I take a look at some of the current events, what we as believers stand for, which will help shape how we think about those current events. We also talk about the fact that now's not a time to panic. Now is not a time to shrink back. Now is a time to allow Jesus to use us to get the word about his death, burial, and resurrection to as many people as possible.
Absolutely.
We want to put that CD in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Just go online to basicgospel.net, click the donate link, and follow the instructions there, and we'll get a copy of this CD to you as quickly as possible. If you would rather pick up the phone and call and order your copy, call 844-412-2742. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll see you again tomorrow.